Make sure this season to check out Walter's self-poured beer wall, which includes 24 different items, including Fireside Chat, Vienna Lager, and Green City IPA. Visit waltersdc.com for more information.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Next pitch. Swung on by Thomas and driven in the air to deep left center field. This is way back. Blodet looking up. It's going, going, and gone. Goodbye. It's now the Nationals 4 and the A's nothing. Here comes the 1-0.
Swing, a line drive to left. Another base hit. Another RBI for Lane Thomas. Coming in to score, Meneses. Winker to second. And the Nationals lead it 6-1. Thomas has 3 RBIs in the game. The kick and the pitch. Swing, a line drive, base hit right field. That'll bring in J.J. Bleday. This is now a 6-3 Nationals lead. And the A's will bring the tying run to the plate. Law ready. Here it comes. That's in the dirt. Gets by Adams. Here comes the runner to the plate. Nevin's going to score, and it's 6-4. Next pitch. Swing, a looping line drive. Shallow left center. This is falling, and it is diving for Winker. Did he make the catch? No, he did not. It's trapped. 2 runs are going to score. The Nationals say they may challenge this. Abrams is asking for a challenge. 2 runs score. A late single by the third base umpire signaling no catch. 2 runs score. The A's lead 7-6. The lead is gone.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Monday, April 15th, 2024. Along with MassinSports.com, Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Oakland Coliseum. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. A very disappointing ending to the Nats 3-game series at the Oakland A's. A 7-6 loss on Sunday in a game in which the Nats blew a 6-1 six-inning lead. The Nats end up losing 2 of the 3 games in the series. The Nats now are 3-3 on their ongoing 9-game road trip in California and now are 6-9 in this regular season. We have a website that we invite you to check out, NatsChatPodcast.com, at which you can buy various Nats Chat podcast t-shirts. And we can say that we now are officially sold out of our Paolo Espino secret weapon t-shirts. Yes, Paolo, long gone from the Nats, but the aura of the secret weapon will live on forever via these t-shirts. So thank you to everyone for that. And you know, the Nats bullpen right about now could use a Paolo Espino. Take note of how many relievers were used by the Nats in each game of this series at the A's. Game 1, 4 relievers. Game 2, 5 relievers. Game 3, 4 relievers. Mark, it is hard to keep that up and not suffer some bullpen meltdowns. And sure enough, we got a bullpen meltdown on Sunday. Derek Law and Jordan Weems struggling big time in what ended up being a 6-run, 6-inning for the A's.
I was just about to say, Al, they really could use the secret weapon in this game especially, but maybe at other points during this series as well. It caught up to them, all the usage. There were several guys unavailable in this game, and yet you hand anybody a 5-run lead that should be comfortable enough to get through with no problems. And Derek Law in particular, and then Jordan Weems after him, turned that into an absolute mess. And that's a game they really have no business losing. And they know it. And, you know, it's going to happen in the course of a year. You're going to have a few games like that. And hopefully they have a few games that they have no business winning that they come back to win as well. But to me, there was a huge difference between winning this game and losing this game. You win, you've won back-to-back series, going into LA with some momentum, feeling good about yourself, having gone 4-2 here in the Bay Area. And instead, you go 3-3 Both the losses here in Oakland were certainly winnable games, one in extra innings, and then this one. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, oh man, that's a really tough series coming up at Dodger Stadium. And, you know, they're going to hope to win one of those three and go home at 4-5 on the trip. So this really, to me, it was the rubber game of the series, but I feel like it was the rubber game of the trip altogether. And for them to lose the way they did, that's a tough one to swallow.
For sure. And, you know, we'll see where this season takes us, but the A's do not come off like a team that is going to have a very good season. And we'll see what the Nats end up being this season. But the Nats felt to me like the better team in watching this series. And that the Nats lost two of the three games is a shame. So the bullpen meltdown, the pen completely fell apart in that sixth inning on Sunday. Derek Law officially allowed four runs in a third of an inning, but he was even worse than that, if you could believe that. He was a mess in this six-run Oakland six, during which he faced five batters and got just one out. He came into the game in the bottom of the six with runners on second and third, one out, and the Nats holding a 6-1 lead. He generated a strikeout of the first batter he faced, Seth Brown, a swinging strikeout, but Law then gave up a two-out opposite field RBI single by Tyler Nevin to right field, gave up a two-out RBI single by Lawrence Butler to right field, and issued a two-out run-scoring wild pitch, cutting the Nats lead to 6-4. And Law then issued back-to-back two-out walks of Shea Langeliers and Ryan Noda. Then Jordan Weems came into the game. He officially allowed no runs in a third of an inning, but he faced three batters and got just one out. Came into the game, bottom of the six, bases loaded, two outs, Nats up 6-4. Weems, to the first batter he faced, issued a two-out, bases-loaded walk of Oakland's number nine batter, Darrell Hernández, despite him having been down at 1.12. So think about that. Oakland's number nine batter, down 1-2, two outs. You end up walking the guy. Weems then gave up a two-out, bases-loaded, two-run single by Abraham Toro to left center for a 7-6 Oakland lead. And the shame of this is that it ended up screwing up the final line of Trevor Williams, who otherwise pitched well. He essentially was good for a third time in three starts in this regular season. Three runs in five and a third innings, but he pitched a lot better than that. Two of the runs that were charged to him came with Law pitching. Williams had seven strikeouts versus one walk. I felt as bad for Williams as I felt for anyone in this game.
This was a really good performance by him, the third straight one of those. The seven strikeouts, that matched his highest output from last year in a game. And he had every right to leave that game having only allowed one run. At one point in this game, before he gave up the first run, he had an ERA of 1.88. And now it's back up in the threes. And that's early in the season, so, you know, every run makes a big difference. But he deserved so much better. And I think there's a really fascinating question here about the decision-making of when to pull him. I think there's an argument for pulling him after five innings, knowing the history there, and not even letting him start the sixth, even though the pitch count was, at that point, 68 pitches. I think there's rationale for Davey pulling him when he did. You give him a chance to start the sixth, but as soon as he got in trouble, you pull him, and at that point, he's at 78 pitches. And I think there's also an argument, given what the state of the bullpen was and how well Williams had pitched, to say, you know what? Go for it. Let's see if you can get through this jam and get out of it and give us six full innings. And I don't know how the outcome changes with any of those, but I think there was a valid argument for any one of those three decisions. Obviously, the one they did backfired spectacularly. Doesn't mean that the same thing wouldn't have happened if they'd pulled him prior to the inning or if they'd let him keep going. Who knows what might have happened?
Yeah, I think with a guy like Williams, I think also with Patrick Corbin, I'm never going to hammer Davey for pulling that guy too soon. I think you get out while the getting's still good. But at the same time, this can't continue with this bullpen. Four, five relievers game in, game out. It's unsustainable. I mean, we're in the middle of April, you know, like we're just beginning this thing. And this kind of bullpen usage is just so hard to maintain. Now, the rest of the bullpen in this game ended up being all right, although it actually could have continued to be quite bad. Dylan Floro tossed a scoreless bottom of the seventh, but he gave up back-to-back one-out singles and issued a one-out walk. So Floro almost made a mess of things in the seventh inning. And then Matt Barnes finally gave us a proper bullpen outing. He tossed a perfect bottom of the eighth inning. Yeah, Trevor Williams, we mentioned it, seven strikeouts, one walk, gave up six hits, two doubles to go with four singles. He threw a ton of strikes too, 78 pitches, 54 strikes versus 24 balls. We've talked about this, but he's doing what he did last season when he began things pitching well. He was a good pitcher over his first 10-11 starts last regular season, and he's pitching like that so far now.
It was interesting. He didn't go to detail, but he said that the way things went at the end of the year, He said there were some glaring issues that we needed to address, was his quote. And he went into the offseason and addressed those. And, you know, so far the results have been great. Can he keep that up? I think that's the big question now. I know he felt like getting through the season and now having a bigger base of innings pitched as a starter would maybe pay off for him this year. You know, maybe being better positioned to go deeper and to give them more innings. Although I think we're seeing that Davey's still kind of treating him the same way. And I don't know. I'm fascinated to see how this all plays out, because if Trevor Williams can be halfway effective at all, that's a huge bonus for a team that you weren't really thinking of that. I mean, this guy almost lost his job this spring to Zach Davies. And if not for one really big blow up by Davies in his final spring training start, Trevor Williams might have opened this year in the bullpen and been the long man that they probably now need, actually, the irony there. But he got the job, and now he's made three, I would call them, very successful starts, even if it didn't necessarily show up in the final stat lines. Good for him. Let's see where this goes from here. I'm not sure anybody really knows where it goes from here.
Hey, Al Galdi here for Window Nation. Baseball season finally is here. Spring finally is here. And that means a great offer from Window Nation for listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. If your windows are cracked or leaking and or won't open or stay open, now is the time to call Window Nation, which is offering the following deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Upgrade the look, feel, and value of your home with great new Window Nation windows. Window Nation is the best, and take advantage of the offer. Two free windows for every two windows that you buy, plus zero down, zero interest, and zero payments for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
First pitch here, he swings and crushes one deep down the left field line. This one has a chance. It is gone. It's a grand slam for Dylan Cruz. Sharp wind blowing out to left field certainly helped that laser. And now, after confirming, it's a grand slam for Dylan Cruz. The second home run at the AA level for one of the top prospects in baseball. Dylan Cruz steps on the plate.
Now the 0-1 from Spence. Swinging a fly ball, shallow center. Racing on in is Blade. It's going to drop in front of him for a base hit. And Lipscomb's going to come in to score. So the Nationals get the run back and lead 5-1. Meneses gets one right off the end of the bat and dunks a pop-up into shallow center for an RBI single. Joey now with two RBIs today, four on the season. He's doubled his total.
I'd like to ask about this regarding the Nats bullpen. So it did turn out that Riley Adams was the Nats starting catcher in all three games in this series. K-Bert Ruiz on Sunday continued to be out due to this illness. He has not played since this past Monday. Now, the reason that Adams was the Nats starting catcher in all three games is that he was the only true catcher on the Nats Major League active roster. The Nats, this past Wednesday evening, announced having option catcher Drew Millis back to AAA Rochester. This for a pitcher who the Nats supposedly needed for this series at the A's. But it turned out that the pitcher never pitched in the series. The pitcher was reliever Amos Willingham, who the Nats this past Friday announced as having recalled from AAA Rochester. Is there a reason that Amos Willingham never pitched in this series? Because otherwise, this does not look like the best roster management that we have ever seen from the Nationals.
That one kind of backfired on them. Yes, it did. I would say the reason he never pitched is that these were three very close games and they probably, you know, didn't view him as high enough on the totem pole to merit it. Tanner Rainey never pitched in any of these games either. That kind of tells you something about where he stands on the depth chart there. I don't think Willingham ever even warmed up. I didn't notice him warming up in the bullpen at all. So my guess is he was here in case a starter got knocked out early, in case a game went, you know, deep into extra innings, or in case a game was lopsided. This one was heading in that direction, but it never, you know, finished there because they turned that 5-run lead into a 1-run deficit. And so now you're not going to pitch him after that. If you can go back in time and do this all over again, I'm quite sure they would have kept Drew Millis here, hopefully giving him a start. Now, that said, Riley Adams did a great job all weekend. He was productive at the plate. He, I think, called good games. I don't think there's anything to complain about there. And in the end, it didn't necessarily cost them to not have Drew Millis here. I don't think that's the reason they lost any of these games. But come Monday, they need somebody else to catch the game. And the way that Davey Martinez kind of put it to us afterwards is that Ruiz was still sick and he hadn't even seen him today. He may not have even come to the ballpark. They're going to have to make a move, Davey acknowledged. And so I think Millis may be making another cross-country trip, racking up the frequent flyer miles, and we may see him on Monday. And if the corresponding move there is to put Ruiz on the IL, you're only allowed to backdate a move 3 days. So what that means is he'd be out for another week. Now, maybe he needs it, given how sick it turns out that he has been. But that's a really unfortunate turn of developments there. If they had made that move several days ago, he'd be back sooner. Instead, you're going to have wasted several days of him being on the active roster but not able to play. And a 10-day IL stint ends up being even longer than 10 days.
Yeah, you know, I'm sympathetic to the Nats from a standpoint of it is so rare for a player to be out this long due to illness, assuming that that's all we're talking about here, illness. So I get not putting him on the injured list because you're like, well, he should be better any day now. But this is something, man. It feels like he's not getting better. So, you know, we certainly hope that he's doing well. But yeah, the Drew Millis, Amos Willingham scenario certainly did not play out in a favorable way. Now, Adams did end up having a very nice series. He in this game on Sunday as the Nats starting catcher and number 8 batter, 2-for-4 with two doubles. Adams in the Nats 1-run fourth, a leadoff double to the left field corner, and Adams in the top of the 7th, a 1-out opposite field double off the right center field wall. You know, this game before the bullpen implosion, I thought it was such an impressive game for the Nats offensively. They were pounding A's pitching. They had guys on base. It felt like every time you looked up, the Nats for this game, 12 hits, 5 walks, 4-for-14 with runners in scoring position. 6 runs is not a bad run output, but man, given all that other stuff, 12 hits, 5 walks, 4-for-14, the Nats run total really should have been higher than 6 runs.
Agreed, and I think that kind of came back to haunt them as well. And if they convert a couple more times when they had those runners in scoring position, I mean, they were 2-for-9 through the first 4 innings. They had Alex Wood on the ropes from the very beginning. And ultimately, I think could have knocked him out sooner and taken a much bigger lead. If you're up 8-1, 9-1, instead of 6-1, I think that changes the dynamic of how you approach those later innings. I think you have a little more cushion there and the thing doesn't fall apart as much on you. So while it was a good offensive game, and you can't, you know, say they lost the game because they only scored six runs, there was an opportunity there to do more. And I do think this is something of a recurring issue for them in that the games they win, we saw this last year too, the games they win are usually very close. They very rarely have enough of a cushion to give everybody some breathing room and maybe let Davey manage that bullpen a little differently. Now, I get it. They're up five this one. That should be more than enough. You shouldn't have to worry about it. But there was the opportunity to be up by a lot more than five, and they missed that opportunity.
Interesting lineup tinkering by Davey Martinez for Sunday. He had Jacob Young as the starting center fielder and number one batter, C.J. Abrams as the starting shortstop and number two batter, and Lane Thomas as the starting right fielder and number five batter. So Lane got dropped in the lineup, and Lane ended up doing quite well. He may be staying in that number five spot for a while. So Lane Thomas, save for a multi-game stretch recently in which he did well, has really struggled this season. But Thomas on Sunday was terrific, 3-for-5 with a solo homer, two RBI singles, and a stolen base. He and the Nats, a two-run third, had a two-out RBI single to left center field for a 2-0 Nats lead and a steal of second base. Thomas in the Nats, one-run fifth, a leadoff full-count home run to left center for a 4-0 Nats lead to conclude a 9-pitch plate appearance in which he was down at 1.12, and the homer was impressive, 429 feet per Statcast. And then Thomas in the Nats, a two-run six, a two-out RBI single to left for a 6-1 Nats lead. But also good in this game was Jacob Young. He had a good game in the Nats win at the A's on Saturday, and Young in this 7-6 loss at the A's on Sunday, 2-for-4, RBI double, single, hit by pitch, and a stolen base. Top of the first, a leadoff single to center, despite having been down at 1.02, and he had to steal a third base. Young in the Nats, two-run third, a hit by pitch, and Young in the Nats, one-run fourth, a one-out first pitch, opposite field, RBI double to right field for a 3-0 Nats lead. So the lineup tinkering worked out. What'd you make of what Davey did with his lineup?
Well, so a couple of thoughts behind this. He wanted to maybe take a little pressure off of Lane Thomas, thought he had been pressing near the top of the lineup and put him in a spot where he could actually drive in runs. And Lane said he viewed it that way, that when he saw he was hitting fifth, he thought, okay, here's a chance to drive in some runs. And he did come up with runners on base several times and certainly delivered in that regard. So that was good. And Jacob Young, when he puts the bat on the ball, some very good things can happen. And just as was the case the previous day, to see him and C.J. Abrams running the bases together, that is a very interesting dynamic that not a lot of teams have. Now, long run, I don't know if they view Young as somebody who could do that consistently enough and be an everyday player and bat leadoff in the big leagues. But for this matchup against a lefty, I do think it made some sense. And they absolutely, you know, pulled it off to perfection. That was a really nice effort by him. Abrams hit another double and scored a run. Joey Meneses drove in two runs. He needed it. They weren't really hard hit, but he did get some, you know, have some productive at bats for the first time in a while. And for Lane Thomas, you hope this is the start of something good. We know that he gets streaky and he can get really hot once he gets going. You hope this was a good start for him. We'll just have to see how it goes the next few days.
So the reason that Jacob Young is back in the majors is because Victor Robles is on the 10-day injured list due to a left hamstring strain. He has been on that since April 4th. Do you expect Robles back this week?
I don't think so. It sounded like he was just kind of starting to be cleared to do some things. So, you know, with a hamstring, you're not taking any chances. You got to be able to run at full speed and then get back into some baseball activity. So, no, I didn't get the sense that he's that close. He wasn't on the trip. He hasn't been on the trip with them. So he's doing his rehab back home, which kind of tells me that he's a little further off in his recovery time.
And I guess what I'm getting at is, could it be, and I know that Jacob Young's overall numbers aren't overwhelming, but do you think that Young could be playing his way into being the Nats' number one center fielder over Robles, even though Robles had been doing some good stuff?
Right. I think because of what Robles had done, whenever he is healthy, they want to bring him back and give him that chance. But as we know all along, there's another guy waiting in the wings to be called up, tearing it up at AAA. And I think the fear all along has been whether it's Victor Robles, whether it's Jacob Young, whether it's even Eddie Rosario, Jesse Winker, any of these outfielders, if they might have to make the most of this opportunity right now, because one of these days they're going to call up James Wood and somebody's going to be out of a job.
Tim Shover's here to tell you about Game Time. Now that the Steven Strasburg saga has been settled, it's time to look ahead to the 5th anniversary celebration of the World Series as Houston comes to town April 19th, through the 21st. Get a panoramic view of your seat on the Game Time app or website before you buy so you can make sure you'll be satisfied on game day. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The 0-2 is swung on and missed for strike three. Second time he's set Keith down on strikes tonight. He's thrown 30 pitches in the inning. The 1-2 is taken for strike three, and Chang knew it. Back-to-back strikeouts, 8 overall for Parker tonight.
So next up for the Nats is the final series of this 9-game trip in California, a 3-game series at the mighty Los Angeles Dodgers. Game one, late night on Monday night at 10:10. Mitchell Parker will be the Nats starting pitcher. He'll be making his Major League regular season debut, and that is official. Davey Martinez revealed that to Mark and other reporters during Davey's postgame session on Sunday evening. Game two at the Dodgers late night on Tuesday night at 10:10. Patrick Corbin will be the Nats starting pitcher. And game three Wednesday afternoon at 3:10. Jake Irvin will be the Nats starting pitcher. So Mitchell Parker, you brought him up on multiple shows here recently. You saw this coming. The Nats took him in the fifth round of the 2020 MLB draft out of San Jacinto College, which is a public community college in Texas. And if San Jacinto College sounds familiar to you as a Nats fan, it should. That is the same college from which the Nats drafted starting pitcher Jackson Rutledge. But what do you think the organizational outlook for Mitchell Parker is? How is he viewed?
Well, first of all, Rutledge and Parker went to college together. They overlapped for a year. They're very close friends. And there's some irony there, of course, in that Rutledge, we all thought would be the first pitcher called up when they needed a starter. And just because of the timing of it, the fact he got hit with a line drive the other day, it turns out that Mitchell Parker gets the call before him, at least this year. Rutledge came up late last season. This is someone they like. This is somebody who throughout his time in the minor leagues has racked up some big time strikeout numbers. You're talking well over 10, I think, per nine innings, maybe even 11 per nine innings at times. And a guy who Davey described from spring training, having seen him this year for the first time in big league camp, a guy who shows very little emotion and just looks very calm at all times. And I'll tell you what, given the assignment that he has on Monday night, pitching at Dodger Stadium on Jackie Robinson Day, the first three hitters he's going to face in the major leagues almost certainly are going to be Mookie Betts, Shohei Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman. You better have nerves of steel to be able to handle a situation like that. We actually got to see and talk to Parker. He was here. They flew him here for the day to be with the team, and he's flying to Los Angeles. So we got a chance to talk to him about this. And he said he spent a couple of hours contemplating the magnitude of all this, but he's tried not to think about it since then and really just focus on preparing to make a start and not let the moment become too big. Good luck to him. I don't know what to think. I think we have to be careful not to, you know, judge this guy's entire career prospects based on this one game, because if you were to draw up a toughest assignment possible to make your major league debut, this is pretty close to it. But let's see what he can do. And as Davey put it, if he can just get through the first inning and handle the nerves and the lineup that he's facing, then he should be fine. But that first inning is going to be a tough one, I can assure you that.
And given the Nats bullpen, all of these relievers used here lately, some of the relievers not doing so well lately, you have a guy making his Major League regular season debut at the mighty Dodgers late night on Monday night. So, you know, you're not anticipating Mitchell Parker going 7-8 innings. If he does, more power to him, but I don't think anyone's, you know, betting on that. What are we going to see here with the pen? I mean, how aggressive can Davey be with this pen? Nats do have an off day coming up on Thursday, but we're not there yet. We have three games at the Dodgers to get through first.
Well, yeah, I think the fear would be, what if he got lit up early and you have to start thinking about making a move by the second or third inning? That's where they could be in real trouble. As we've talked about, they have no true long man here who can give you 3-4 innings. It'd be nice to have a Paolo Espino for that, wouldn't it? So I don't know. They may have to let him wear it for a little bit. You hope it doesn't come to that. But they may be in a position where they can't afford to pull him that early from it. But, you know, the guys who didn't pitch today should be fine. That's, you know, more of a late inning thing, you know, but my guess would be we will see people like Tanner Rainey. We will probably see, you know, you may have to go back to Derek Law again, as bad as this one was. And Jordan Weems will have to have the day off, having taken three in a row. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting dilemma. Maybe they have another move up their sleeve. Maybe they're not done and we're going to see somebody else there as well. But this makes for a very fascinating matchup in a lot of ways, both for what it means on this one night for Mitchell Parker, but also what it means in the bigger picture for the team.
Mitchell Parker, this is his age 24 season. Mark mentioned the strikeout numbers of Parker over his time in minor league baseball. 11.4 strikeouts per nine innings, that's good, but also 4.6 walks per nine innings. So that is something to keep in mind with his debut here at the Dodgers on Monday night. You tell us what you think. Hit us up on X at @Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. Our YouTube handle is @NatsChatPodcast. And please click on the thumbs up button and please click on subscribe. We very much appreciate that. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. The music of the Nats Chat podcast is courtesy of the great Tim Newmark. We appreciate that. You can check out his site, timnewmark.com. For Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat podcast.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.